welcome to episode 47 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. I'm Eric Barzeski, and the yin to my yang is Jeff Smith in Washington. Hello.
Hello, sir.
Are you the yin or am I the yin?
Let's see, you said I'm the yin to your yang, or whatever. I'm not really sure what it is. I think we're going to have to do a little research so we can clue our listeners in on that one.
Whichever one is cooler, that's me.
Oh, the black one or what?
I don't know. Whichever one is cooler. Am I the black one with the white dot or the white one with the black dot? Anyway.
Is black your favorite color?
Black is the new black.
Okay.
I think Phil Mickelson wore some black there on Sunday, but stayed in the red most of the day, except for a double bogey on a par 3 where he lost a ball by airmailing the green. Cruised to a 5-shot victory, finishing 20 under to get off the schnod and pick up his first win in 2007.
Yeah, no surprise there. I mean, my theory held true that he didn't know the difference. He's just going to play golf, and Wingfoot wasn't going to really have any adverse effects on him. I mean, Phil's Phil. He just gets out there, he plays. I think he's kind of in his own world. He seems to be happy there.
He was in his own world Sunday again, finishing 5 shots ahead, finishing with a 666, again, including a double bogey on a par 3, so 8 birdies other than that. Really no competition all day, although I was kind of hoping for some competition from Kevin Sutherland, John Mallinger, even Greg Owen or Davis Love down there. Jim Furyk was close to Phil Mickelson's position, but came in on Saturday at Pebble Beach with a 76 in the very, very bad conditions. Phil Mickelson got a luckier draw and was playing a more inland course that was protected from the wind that he could score on. So kind of some bad luck, but also not the best play from Jim Furyk. Corey Pavin, of course, managed a 68 or 67, I think, on Saturday at Pebble Beach. So scoring was possible, but not very easy. Any other thoughts, though, on the Pebble Beach tournament? We'll talk a little bit more about the celebrities later, but on the Phil Mickelson side or anything?
No, well, you know, I mean, on the one hand, I was pretty happy to see Phil, you know, grab a win early in the year. That kind of gets the monkey off his back a little bit and allows him to just maybe settle down and just play the game. You know, he said, one of the things he said that kind of stood out to me, I believe I can take what happened at Wingfoot and make it a plus for the rest of my career. Well, I kind of remember back after that happened, Arnold Palmer called him shortly after and said, hey, you know, I've been there, I've done that. Wasn't it a U.S. Open that Palmer choked away? So, yeah, you know, it's a positive for him. And, you know, I feel good about it. Phil's kind of a lightning rod for opinion. But, you know, I was happy.
I got to get in one comment there, and that is simply, did you see of course, the kids run onto the green at the end of the day and stuff? Did you see
that?
No,
I didn't. I missed the end of the tournament.
I need to find a picture of what that boy was wearing of his, because I swear him and Amy are trying to make the kid gay or something. It was like the worst outfit.
There's anything wrong with that.
No, but it was the worst outfit I've ever seen, ever.
Well, I got to see this.
And I grew up in the 80s, so, you know. It was bad.
Right. Which was really bad times.
Michelle Wee can play in the ADT Championship. Of course, the LPGA Tour gets started this week, so finally we'll have something to talk about there. The Champions Tour we don't care about, so we don't really talk about that much. But some LPGA news here is that they've changed the rules of the ADT Championship, the end-of-the-year championship, so that Michelle Wee basically can play in it. They're not requiring you to be an LPGA member anymore. So, Essentially, if you play well enough in the majors and things, you can get into the ADT.
Well, and I've also got this feeling that it won't be too much longer before the LPGA caves and says to Michelle Wee, all right, we'll let you in. You can be a member. So, I mean, she's 17 years old now. She's getting closer and closer to that point when she will.
Well, there's talk too. There's talk too, though, that she may not need the tour. I mean, Tiger doesn't technically need the PGA Tour. He could play the majors. He could play the WGC events. He can play, you know, so on, a few European Tour events. He could play his Tiger Challenge. He could play the Buick tournaments. He could play a few other sponsors' exemptions, and that could be his schedule. So some people are saying that, like Tiger, Michelle Wee doesn't need the LPGA Tour. She could be a merchant for hire and go around. Of course, in women's golf, the LPGA Tour is barely at the conscious level. So, you know, I mean, she could go play the Korean PGA Tour, and I'm sure the Korean people over there would love her, or the Japanese women's tour, but that doesn't even register over here, and America is still a big market, so.
It'll be interesting to see how she manages that transition between being a freelancer, as you say, to when she gets the invitation to come on the LPGA Tour, whether or not she'll take that up full force. Of course, she's going into college.
Right.
So
she still has to request LPGA membership, too. I mean, she hasn't done that officially yet. I mean, the word on the street was that Bivens told her not to request it early, so she hasn't, because she would have been turned down, but she technically still has to ask for it. We'll see when that comes about. We'll be right back after this message from Titleist. Stay with us.
For a crisper long iron, grip up on it about an inch.
Be real aggressive through impact.
Keep it short and aggressive.
Maintain your balance.
Take one more club and swing it smooth.
Think happy thoughts.
For a soft draw, close your stance and make sure you release the club.
I'm going to line my feet to the right a little bit, hook the club face, then grip the club.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
And one more tip, trust your tightness.
Oh, that's got to be it, guys. Come on, that's a perfect shot.
Welcome back. The forum topic of the week has us talking about the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and member Flap introduces this topic by asking, are you for or against Murray and company? Do you think that the comedy during the Pro-Am should be done away with? My personal opinion is that no, it shouldn't be done away with. I think what you have, again, is a case of the PGA Tour is unique in that each week you see there's something different. The golf course changes. It's not the same kind of course. In basketball, you have the court. It's exactly the same. Of course, the venue is different and the logo is different at the center of the court. But golf is so much different because yet you're on a different course, a different layout, different combination of holes, which makes it very interesting. And then, of course, on the social side, you have a different mix of players each week based on who qualified, who wants to be there, who doesn't. And then at certain times of the year, you have something like the Pebble Beach Pro-Am when you have a bunch of nutcases out there. And whether or not you think they're funny, I think it's been a great event for fans to go and attend and enjoy seeing celebrities on the course. Whether or not their play is very much fun to watch is
something definitely not. We can agree on that.
Yeah, well.
You know, and I disagree that we need to, I think it's fine that they have the Pro-Am. I think the pros that play there enjoy it, or at least they know what they're getting into, 6-hour rounds and whatnot, notwithstanding. They know that going in. Many of them use that as a chance to bond, or, you know, to actually play with a guy that they are friends with. You know, Steve or Phil Mickelson played with the CEO of Bearing Point, you know, one of his sponsors. So,
Mr. You.
Good chance to suck up there. You? Who?
It was you.
You.
It was you.
Dang it. I won. But I don't need to see them on TV. That's my problem with it. It's great that they're there. Fine. Let them play. But I don't need to see them on TV, and I certainly don't need to see the same stupid Danny Gans 400 times. I'm sorry, but I will never go see the guy in Vegas either because I'm completely annoyed by him, and B, I've probably seen his entire act by now. So, I mean, I watched golf for about 90 minutes on Saturday, and I think I saw about 6 pros hitting golf shots. The rest of the time I saw, you know, Jim Nantz pushing other CBS shows, or I saw Danny Gans or some other celebrity duffing it around. I saw Andy Garcia's 4-minute pre-shot routine in which he takes 14 practice swings. I don't need to see this stuff. And I certainly don't need to see a bunch of dudes playing. If they're going to have celebrities, why not get Tay Leone or Catherine Zeta-Jones or some other female golfers involved too? If they're I mean, they're playing at Pebble Beach. Let me see the golf course a little bit, because Sunday I'm worried about the competition. So if you need to show me celebrities, don't ram them down my throat and show me a little more of the golf course, which is a celebrity in and of itself, I think. So
fair enough.
90 minutes of golf, and like I said, about 6 pros I think I saw hit a golf shot on Saturday.
So Danny Gans is your new best friend then, huh?
Indeed.
Yeah, well, he was funny for about 30 seconds, and then I thought, well, okay, that's enough.
We'll be right back again after this message from Titleist. You're listening to Golf Talk from thesandtrap.com.
When you get in a fairway bunker, choke up on the club a little bit, and I like to aim for the top of the ball.
On long bunker shots, flatten your swing.
You want to feel down in the sand, and then use your instincts.
When you get a plug lie, all you want to do is take a steeper swing and explode down on the ball.
If you want to hit a punch shot, play the ball back in your stance.
When you're in the rough, you're going to want to hit a cut.
One more tip. Trust your tightness.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
And welcome back. This week in our Beating Ball segment, the first story we have here is that the International, the event played the week before the PGA Championship, typically Jack Vickers tournament in Colorado, of course the Mile High Stableford format tournament, is no longer. It's been canceled, it's been killed off, it's been relegated to the dustbin of history. Tim Finchem cut the head off the turkey this week, and Jack Vickers isn't too happy about it, and of course had some things to say. Tiger Woods, of course, never played in the tournament. Kind of surprising that the year that this event should be held, Jack Vickers can't find a sponsor that's willing to lock in for 5 or 6 years, and there's a hole in the schedule the week before a major.
Crazy.
I don't know what exactly they're going to do, but certainly you can read up about it there. Of course,
well, Tiger and Phil are going to appreciate an actual weekend off where they don't have to miss something.
Well, see, and that's the thing, though. Phil Mickelson, part of his thing is to play the week before a major. I never quite understood how playing in the International, a mile high, with screwed up distances and stuff really helped you. But then again, he won the PGA 2 years ago, so it may have helped him then. But, you know, Phil at least typically plays the week before a major, so if there is a hole, that'll put a kink in his preparation.
Well, money's the bottom line, and that's how, you know, that's how any of these tournaments go ahead. But I think that's unfortunate. Again, pardon me for playing the tradition card, but the Stableford scoring system is something different. It's fun. It's something to kind of mix up the schedule a little bit. So it's too bad. It's unfortunate that happened.
It is. So plus they had good milkshakes, supposedly. So I'm sure the pros will miss that. There's an article here. Will course design work hinder Tiger's performance? What would you answer? You can read the answers. We'll link to it, of course, in our show notes. We're not going to summarize them here. We'll just give our own. What do you think? Fact or fiction?
Well, that's just fiction. There's no way that's going to bother him. He's going to take it at a reasonable pace, and he's going to gather around himself, as he should, a bunch of competent people that will help him facilitate that while he oversees it. So no, it's not going to hurt him in the least. I mean, everybody knows what a competitor Tiger is, so he's not going to let side business sideline his strong play.
Right. I don't think that he's capable of giving less than 100% to his design work. I don't think he's going to be one of these player architects that kind of just says, oh, no, 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 I'll just fly in for a day and sign my name when it opens and pretend I had something to do with it. I think he'll be involved with it. But he plays 18 PGA Tour events, 20 or so golf events per year. He's got a couple of weeks to play with, I think, that and his own jet and so on. So I think he's capable of squeezing it in without really affecting his tournament play. And Tiger, of all people, knows playing tournaments and playing them well is job number one. So I don't see him letting that get in his way. There's a quick story here about the Fresno event that gets the Fries.com open this year, I believe. And there's a picture of the golf course. And what strikes you about this picture here, Jeff?
Baked out. Like, where'd the grass go?
It's not even seeded yet. It's dirt. So they have an event here in, you know, a few months, and there's no grass. The entire golf course is dirt. And I'm fully aware of the fact that they got the TPC down in Jacksonville ready for the Players Championship in May. But this is going to be tough here. If you want a sod farm around Nevada, be prepared for a big order.
Yeah.
Just it's funny to go look at it. So go look at it and check out the picture and laugh.
Throw your head back and laugh.
Laugh. Phil Mickelson, see, he's not all bad. He may dress his kid like a fruitcake, but he's helped out pro football's dirtiest player. I saw this guy's story on ESPN a couple years ago. He was pro football's dirtiest player, voted that a long time ago. Has had many surgeries on his knee. His wife fell out of a hammock and is a quadriplegic now or something like that. You know, the bills are obviously high, the medical bills. The NFL does very little to help its former players. His kid, I remember seeing in this story on ESPN a couple of years ago. His kid wanted to go to Miami University in Ohio, near where they live. Holly, the kid. So Phil Mickelson apparently got in touch with them a couple years ago and paid for this girl to go to college. So,
and she's done well. She maintains a 3.8 grade point average, so she appreciates it.
That's good. So not all bad news for Phil, and not all picking on him from us. So we just thought we'd throw this story out there to show that we do try to work in some positive Phil stories when possible.
This is a kinder, gentler Sand Trap podcast.
It is. We're feeling nice. I don't know why. It's still snowing. San Francisco Harding Park, of course, made a big splash in the WGC event a couple years ago, where John Daly failed to make a 3-foot putt and lost in a playoff to Tiger Woods. And now there's word that they'll be getting a Western Open and a President's Cup. It's official, of course, that they'll get a President's Cup in 2009, apparently. What's still perhaps possible is whether or not they'll get the BMW Championship, previously known as the Western Open, in around 2013 or 2014. Some good news for people that liked Harding Park, of course. Tiger Woods won there. It was a public park that, you know, the PGA Tour and whatnot and Sandy Tatum helped to rebuild. Good to see the event going there. I'm still kind of ticked about the fact that the Western Open is the BMW Championship.
Well, in our final story this week, we're looking at a guy who really can play fast, swing fast. Everything about Nick Price seems to be fairly quick. And so he says in an article that we're going to link to that the way to deal with slow play is to fine the PGA players who are causing the problem. So he says, fines, fine them. Penalties, 2-shot penalties, a fine. A warning, and then a fine. And then,
and then a penalty. And that's the only way we're going to stop it. I mean, he thinks professional golfers should be able to play in 4 hours and 20 minutes. I got news for you. Professional golfers should be able to play in 3.5 hours.
Well, that's the thing. They're professional golfers, for Pete's sakes.
There's only two of them in a group, or three of them. There's a lot he goes on. He says
he really repeats himself. It's terrible. It's terrible. The problem is that there's only maybe a handful of slow players who make everyone's else's lives a misery.
There's nothing more frustrating than playing with a guy who pulls the same club out 3 times, then puts his glove on, then looks at the yardage again, throws the grass up, asks his caddy 15 questions, and then suddenly decides to hit. You know, there's nothing worse, and those guys should be fined. And, you know, I agree with him. I mean, I think he's being too generous. 4 hours and 20 minutes is a long time to play 18 holes of golf. 4 hours. Get in, yeah. Get out, you know?
Yeah, well, they're professionals. Again, of course, with sports psychology has entered in and focusing and visualizing, and there's been all these things added to what
Find was, the sports psychologist.
Was once just hit the ball. Yeah. So that's the problem.
Do your half hour pre-shot routine as you're walking up to the ball or something.
Yeah.
You know, I agree with him. I because I see it trickling down to guys, you know, plumb bobbing their third putt on my course, and it just makes me sick.
Well, it's unnecessary, and it's the game. That's ball, not, you know? That's not the game of golf. I've played nine holes
in 50 minutes walking, you know? I mean, it can be done. And I played well, too. You don't have time to second guess yourself. You get up, you hit the ball.
Well, you know? Just yesterday, we played a 4 hour round in fits of showers. There was rain showers and up walking. It was a fairly long hilly course. Done in 4 hours, it can be done. I didn't feel like we were playing really fast. You know, I had plenty of time to think about things and chat.
I played 18 holes with a partner in less than 2.5 hours, taking our time. Not really, you know, we had the course to ourselves, so we weren't slowed up. But 2.5 hours, so that's two guys who aren't shooting 4 under par. So there's plenty of time to do it. 4 hours is a reasonable limit. You know, that time you came out here this past year, and it took us 4 hours to play the front nine.
Yeah, twiddling our thumbs a little bit.
I'm tired of it. We almost had a campaign to encourage fast play this year on the Sand Trap. The fact that Golf Gods is no longer, it was kind of tied in with them a bit. But it's a big thing for me this year, and something I'm going to be very conscious of is playing quickly and encouraging other people to play quickly. I still don't know how I'm going to do that, because people just aren't going to get it. It has to be
taught right at the beginning. You have to. It's like teaching the swing. Everybody, well, how do I swing the club? Well, you have to. I think you have to say at the beginning of playing the game of golf, you have to say golf is meant to be played at a reasonable pace, and you should therefore do it.
You can't teach a slow dog new tricks.
I guess not.
All right. Well, that about does it for episode 47 of the Golf Talk Podcast. If you'd like to send in some money for the Buy Evan Some New Clothes campaign, send that money to P.O. Box... somewhere, Nevada, whatever. I had to get one more in.
Yeah, well, that's good. Give him a generous story this week, so.
Yes, he's a nice guy.
Well, I'm going to have to see the picture. I'm going to have to suspend my judgment until I see the picture.
I'll find it for you, Jeff.
All right.
But in the meantime, again, that does it for the Golf Talk Podcast. You can find us online, of course, at thesandtrap.com. I find our show notes every week. Every Wednesday I post them, usually around noon or so. So you can find all the links to all the stories we've talked about. Click on them, read more, see if we're off our rockers or not. Get the backstory that we don't have the time to share with you. Whatever. And keep shoveling the snow if you're like me and you're stuck in the northeastern United States. Take care.
Bye-bye.